Okay, it is time for this week's sponsor interview now with Scott Kufer of Nucleus Security. Nucleus makes a web application that basically ingests vulnerability information from all your vuln scanners and vulnerability-related tools. Think things like Tenable, Snyk, Burp, whatever. And then Nucleus normalizes that information and allows you to automatically distribute it to the right people via various means like Slack or whatever. So in other words, it liberates organizations from spreadsheet hell, and it works better as well. Less is going to fall through the cracks when you're using this type of software. And they've started integrating it with various asset discovery tools too, like AssetNote, BitDiscovery, Rumble, so you can actually kind of see what you may have missed. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, Nucleus co-founder Scott Kufer joined me for this interview, and we started off by talking about what vulnerability management actually is, because a whole bunch of vendors say that that's what their products do, but that is not what their products do. Here's Scott.
The vulnerability management definition we like to use is really based on the SANS vulnerability maturity model, which really revolves around vulnerability management being a process and not any particular tool or item within that process, right? So when you look at a Tenable or, you know, big network scanner or even a patch management tool, they're all different pieces of this vulnerability management process. And so they say they do vulnerability management, when in reality, they do a piece of the vulnerability management process. So for us, we like to define it as a more holistic approach to actually reducing your risk to your organization based on the vulnerability presence that you have. So whether that's through attack surface reduction, via patching, via developer training, any of those really fit into what the overall holistic approach could be.
See, I mean, I look at your software, right? And to me, it's, you know, it's kind of a security tool, but mostly what I see it as is a productivity tool, essentially, because, you know, you're just making easier what has to be done. And sure, like it makes it less likely that stuff's going to fall through the cracks, right? But in essence, you've just made some quite useful productivity software here. I mean, do you think that's a bit harsh? Or I'm sure you do.
No, I think that there's definitely truth to it, because, you know, the ROI that we normally see really revolves around the reduction in, you know, amount of time and efficiency, or I guess an increase in efficiency to do the same job, right? But, you know, by 10x, 12x of the current processes. But it goes a little further than that, because we tie things together in a way that you can't do any other with any other type of tool, right? So because of where we sit in the process, you know, we have all of this information from all these different tools. And so we can actually allow you to look at your vulnerability data in ways that you just can't with any other type of tool. So a good example is we allow you to tie your results from network scanners to application scanners, and tie that to, you know, maybe even a static code analysis scan, and actually group those all together and link them together and say, this is a service that you're delivering to a customer, and I want to maybe perhaps look at my vulnerability data from that perspective, as opposed from these different stovepipe views. And so it's a little different than just productivity, but that's obviously a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you could get those. I mean, I guess my point is you could get those views previously, but it would be a 2-week project, right? Instead of a few button clicks, right? So, you know, a lot of productivity software.
Exactly.
It's very productivity software in that sense. Now, look, you know, last time we had you on, it was a snake oiler slot. And, you know, you guys have actually become our go-to example for what a, you know, successful sponsor story looks like, because things, you know, basically went into hyperdrive for you after then. Now, you were a little itty-witty baby startup, right, at that point. Now, you know, as I mentioned at the intro, you've had to change offices twice in, like, the last year to cope with the growth. So you would have a much firmer idea about how people are actually using your tooling. Are they using it in the way that you intended? Because quite often what happens in these situations is new use cases pop up that you didn't quite realize were there.
They are using it in the way that we intended, but they're using it on a much broader scale than we ever imagined they could. They've managed to find ways of looking at the data and asking questions that we never thought about. And it's been really crazy to see what kinds of questions that people actually are responsible to answer for their C-suite or for stakeholders.
But and I suppose, once you bring all of that information together, right, like then you can go, oh, goody, and people are going to really have a good think about what new insights they can draw from it.
Exactly. And one of the big ones that we've seen that was you weren't really able to do before was just being able to tie your asset management to your vulnerability scans. I think that's it highlights just one of the things that makes a tool like Nucleus really powerful, or a tool that brings all this information together, because you can then see where the gaps in your vulnerability scanning coverage are. And whereas before you would have really no good way of doing that other than trying to compare Excel spreadsheets together.
So are you doing ideal. That by bringing together all of that scanning information? Are you then putting that in a database and then comparing that database to like hosts that asset management tools crap out? Or is that kind of how that works?
Correct. Yep. So we're taking we're obviously populating an asset database based on the vulnerability scan results. And we're also integrating with tools like, actually you'll like this, AssetNote. BitDiscovery or Rumble. Yep. So we're trying to take all of those assets that you don't know about and then pull that in as well and then compare the two. And we allow you to see across networks assets versus, URLs that are out there that you don't know about, and to say, hey, here are your gaps in scan coverage.
Are you going to eventually extend this to like tasking, right? So that when you realize there's a gap, it's like you press a couple buttons, like throw Tenable at this one or NetSparker at that one. Like, is that the eventual model?
That's a little longer down the road. So right now,
it's kind of like that's data. Ultimate lazy mode, right? Like, you probably got other stuff that's more important than that for now.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, you can already get that information, right? It's actually two clicks, right? You just export the unscanned assets and then you upload that right to your vulnerability scanning tool. So you can do it very quickly already. So for us, we're always trying to maximize the value of the features that we're building. And so being able to scrub off, 10% of your time isn't the big one, right? We're focusing on other problems like reporting and, where do we actually, how do we get the right information to the right people? That's, actually that turns out to be the biggest problem that everybody has.
I'm honestly surprised. And look, I know some of the vulnerability management companies or vulnerability scanning companies, I should say, they've made some efforts around asset discovery, but they seem a little bit half-assed, to be honest. Some of them, not all of them. I'm not intimately familiar with all of them. But I'm curious, how many customers reporting that, marrying the vuln scanning side with the asset discovery side. I mean, is that something that is sort of really making customers very happy? Is that something that they're like, finally?
Yes. So I would say the majority of our customers, the day that we released that feature back actually in November, I would say the majority of our customers had signed up to enable that feature immediately. That's how powerful that is. And I think the real reason for that is it goes back to, you've got your network scanning tools, which are really good at doing vulnerability scanning, right? They're not really designed to do these other pieces of the puzzle. And whereas, like, if you look at a tool like Rumble, like HD Moore, one of the guys that wrote Metasploits, he, is focused his entire attention now on discovering your assets on your internal network. And it's utilizing the best of breed tools to do what they're meant to do, instead of having this monolith that was really built on a scanning engine to do that for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, it totally does, right? Having a central sort of application that allows you to, make use of all of these other applications. I mean, this is the great thing is, I think, and it's a broader trend in security where previously we would sort of expect a vendor kind of like Tenable to come along and maybe do this, but then it kind of cuts against their business interests because they don't want to allow other engines to plug in, and you know what I mean? So it takes a third party to come along and do this and come up with that value. I just think it's great that we've got a market that can now sustain these types of ideas.
Yeah, it's really, really great because, I mean, as much as Tenable, they have their own web application scanner, which is useful for certain organizations. I mean, there's a reason that Burp Suite is still the number one DAST tool that's used. You want to be able to combine both of those. You want to be able to do penetration tests and pull those into your vulnerability program. And Tenable just doesn't, it's not a platform that's built for that, or really any of the vulnerability scanning tools, right?
But that's it. They've all got their strengths, right? Like each one of them has their strengths, but you wouldn't use them for everything.
Correct. And it actually becomes, if we flip it on its head and look at like a DevOps environment, because we work with a lot of DevOps environments as well, where you've got, basically you're doing a ton of container scanning, you're doing a ton of, static code analysis, thing like Snyk as well, where you're pulling in, vulnerability dependencies. A lot of that is returned to you in a, JSON block, so you have to task it as part of your build process or what have you. And there's no good way of managing those vulnerabilities kind of by themselves. And then actually being able to pull those in with the rest of your program is one of the big challenges of 2019, 2020, which is what we're really aiming to solve. And you can only do that with flexibility.
Yeah, 100%. Now, have you guys even raised money?
Nope, not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and you probably won't need to, right? Because it just seems like your thing is just going absolutely berserk on its own.
It is. We're exploring. Obviously, we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves. So we obviously understand the benefits of having a strategic partnership. But for us, we're in a very positive position because, you know, we're obviously not, we don't need to raise the capital. It's not like we have a runway in 6 months that we're going to be out of. It's more of just a, how can we expand or accelerate or, you know, reach different markets? So it's really powerful because it allows us to basically pick the partner that we want to work with as opposed to having a relationship out of necessity.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more like you would raise for sales and marketing, right?
Yep. Actually, that's correct. Because at this point, we still don't have a sales or marketing team. We're exclusively product focused.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to ask too, Scott. I mean, has the success, the extent of the success that you're experiencing surprised you?
Yes, actually. If I'm being honest, so none of us had actually built a product SaaS company before. And so in our mind, we just wanted to build the best product to solve the problems we were facing. And we always had this dream to actually come on Risky Business. And so that's actually the reason that we did that. We didn't realize what that would actually mean, but it kind of spring-loaded everything for us. And it's been a crazy, crazy year, to say the least.
Well, I'm stoked that we could help with that. Oh, and one thing I got to ask before we go is status of the product and features. Last time we spoke, there were some features that were sort of like very close but weren't quite in the product yet, like the ability to automagically plumb through vulnerability data to the correct project owners and stuff. I presume that that's all done now?
Absolutely. We've made actually a ton of progress. And that's also part of the reason, the thing that's really surprising to us is that if we look back a year from, you know, a year ago, the product to us now looks like it was a baby back then. And now it's kind of like the teenager. And so it's changed a ton in that time in just a year. And so we've added notification, you know, that notification auto remediation type or auto change management type of features, but we've added things like customizable risk prioritization, right? So you can now rate assets and actually tie, get a risk-based prioritization that actually is relevant to your organization based on business criticality of different assets.
What's really funny is you're actually delivering what people have been saying they've been delivering for like 15 years, but haven't delivered, you know, because there's always been that's always been the holy grail, right? Which is like, oh, understand your risk, correlate bugs to assets, things like that. And people have sort of done it, but it hasn't, you know, they haven't done it in a way that actually where it's achievable, whereas this seems like it actually does that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So we actually joke internally that we actually have our own buzzwords now, which is pretty funny. So, you know, you think of machine learning and blockchain, vulnerability management has its own. We have risk-based prioritization and auto patching. Those are our two buzzwords that have come out in the last year too. And so it's kind of funny how that all works, but we're just trying to take the sensible approach. We're basing it off of real research and actually I would implore everyone to check out the SANS Vulnerability Management Maturity Model, because we think that is a real good foundation for actually propelling your vulnerability program forward.
All right. Well, Scott Kufer, thank you so much for joining us on the show to give us an update. It's really great to have you back in 2020 as a sponsor. I'm thrilled at your success because it's just nice to see someone being rewarded for making a simple product that, you know, actually helps to make people's lives easier. So congratulations on that. And we'll be talking to you again later on in the year. Cheers.
All right. Thank you very much, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
That was Scott Kufer of Nucleus Security there. Hit them up at nucleussec.com. And honestly, if you're an organization of any type of scale, you're going to find it useful. So, the response to having them on last time was so huge that, you know, Nucleus was like our big success story of 2019 that I cited in the letter that I sent out to all of our sponsors last year. So, yeah, well done, guys. Keep it up. Anyway, that is it for this week's show. I do hope you've enjoyed it. It's great to be back on deck. I'll be back in your ears with more Risky Biz soon, but until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.